wasn't personal.
Business is always personal. It's the most personal thing in the world. When we get back to the office, pack your things.
Pack my...
You heard me. Pack your things.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 44. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. We're rocking and rolling through another dismal Giants season. Before we get into everything, you already know the drill. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So, first things first, go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Next, you know the drill. Subscribe. Every subscription counts. Everyone means something to us. Help us reach this goal by the end of the season. So go ahead, subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play. We're on Stitcher Radio. So subscribe. There's one for any device, desktop, Android, Kindle, iPhone. We're there. You better be subscribed. Get the fresh episodes to your device every Wednesday. All right. That's it for the housekeeping. Before we get into everything about the 49ers and Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese and the 49ers game, the dumpster fire, and preview the Chiefs game, I'm going to throw it to Weiss. Weiss has a little bit of insight into some of the Giants locker room drama. Some players coming out and saying some negative things about the coaching staff anonymously. It's never been more clear that a team has quit on their coaching staff than it is right now with the New York Football Giants. If you watch the game this past weekend, absolutely disgraceful performance, specifically by some of the defensive backs. We'll get into that a little bit more because I do have thoughts on it, but I will throw it to Weiss to sort of take it away and give us some insight into some locker room talk.
Yeah, let me, as much as I hate to do this, let me put on my Adam Schefter, or in this case, Josina Anderson.
Josina.
Add on. So I hate to use this word sources, but and I don't like to play beat writer. I don't like to play NFL insider. I'm not an NFL insider. I do this for fun. We do this for fun.
Yep.
But at the same time, I do know a couple people close to the Giant organization, and I do have a good relationship with them, and I do trust them when they rarely pass me this type of information. But basically, earlier today, I spoke with this individual, and we talked about, the state of the locker room. And I basically asked, what the F is going on with the New York Giants? What is going on? Since I've known this individual, it's never been this bad where I simply ask, what the F is going on? And it's basically a situation that a lot of us talk about and we sort of see on the field by the actions, and that is that people use the term divided. This is more of a rift, of a discomfort in the locker room. Players in the locker room, in that Giants locker room, even coaches in that locker room, know where these quote-unquote leaks are coming from, these anonymous players coming out. People know where it is, or they're pretty sure where it's coming from, just like us fans are sure, players are sure too.
Right.
The difference is, in the locker room, nobody's willing to confront it. Nobody's willing to confront the elephant in the room. And because of that, it has caused this discomfort, made this locker room an awkward feeling for players. And because of that, we're seeing it on the field. We saw what happened Sunday. It also shows a lack of leadership. The fact that there's no vocal leader in the Giants locker room that can stand up and sort of address the situation and get to the bottom of it. You saw players kind of blow it off. They sort of used the terms coward and, they didn't really take it seriously, but they know where it's coming from. Just like us fans, you've, Ethan, have said it. I've said it, many of our listeners kind of know where it's coming from. And because of that, there is this discomfort. Because of that, there is this dysfunction. Because of that, you hear so many things coming out. And because of that, that is part of the reason why the New York Giants are 1-8. And that's part of the reason why we've seen what we've seen over the last 2 weeks with this team. Can we say it's a divided locker room? Maybe from this information, you can say that. I was told it's not divided, but there is a discomfort there. There is a lack of leadership there, and you know, we saw it. We are seeing it, and we most likely will continue to see it. So that's what I have to share with everyone. The majority of the locker room, and I'll add this, I was told the majority of the locker room, so there are players that quit. We know that. We see it. There are players that quit.
Plain as day.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names. We're not going to sit here and, you know, say this person quit or we think that person quit. No, we know there are players that quit. All of you guys can make that, you know, assumption of who quit or who hasn't quit. There are players that quit. There are players who don't like McAdoo or not buying into McAdoo who have just checked out. There are players that still respect McAdoo, who still respect him as a coach. I'm not going to say they still buy into what he's saying, but they respect him as a head coach. And then it's the majority of the locker room that respects the position McAdoo holds and more so respect that position than the actual person that's in that position. So that's sort of what's going on in the Giants locker room. That's sort of what I was told earlier today. And to me, it's not really surprising. I don't think you're surprised. I don't think anybody else.
No, and that's the thing. Like, no one's surprised, but just to have some sort of inside confirmation that, you know, we're not crazy and that someone like a talking head like Carl Banks who comes out and says, well, the players need to play harder, or someone like Snacks or Collins goes out there, and I forget which one it was specifically, but I think it was Snacks, tweets out like, oh, Benny with the good hair, right? Like, you can do once, you could say one thing and then do something completely different. And it's been painfully obvious to anybody who has watched a minute of Giants football over the last 3 weeks that there have been a number of players that have quit on this team. So to hear that this is actually what's going on, it's not surprising. What is sort of surprising to me, and it's ironic in a way, right? John Mara refuses to ever make a change in the middle of a season because Weiss, you know, it's not the Giants way. And, you know, Wellington Mara is probably rolling in his grave right now at the state of the football team. But, you know, he would never let someone go because it's not the Giants way. If this is the unanimous feeling that there are players that have quit on this coach, no owner as prideful as John Mara is going through the rest of the season saying, fuck it, we'll keep the coach because things are so bad that we're a lock for a top three pick. Okay? No owner thinks like that. No coach thinks like that. And there are very few players, unless things get as bad as the Giants, that think like that, right? Guys are trying to win. Guys want to win a football game. Guys are playing hard because some of them have incentives in their contracts. There are things that need to happen throughout the course of a season. The fact that it's pretty much known that this team has quit, I know it, you know it, players in the locker room have openly admitted it pretty much, and that John Mara hasn't done anything yet, just furthers my point that he has been nothing but a gutless coward this entire season. The fact that he has not moved on from basically a lame duck coach at this point, that everyone, including the coach himself, knows is gone at the end of the year.
Dead man walking.
It just furthers the point that he has little to no idea what he's doing as an owner. And just because, and I said it last week and I need to yell about it again, just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it's right. That's it. As a fan, maybe you can rationalize it and say, well, you know what? It's so bad that we'll get the top pick. An owner cannot rationalize like that. They can't. Yeah. Because as soon as the red jerseys fill the stadium next weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs game, things are going to get ugly. When you hear more cheers from red jerseys and blue jerseys and more boos from the blue jerseys, things are bad. And losing to the winless 49ers was about as low as it gets for this Giants franchise.
Yeah.
This is the worst season they've had in 20 years.
In my lifetime.
Because of the record, because of the expectations, and you have an owner who's calmly pacing in the owner's box during the game. Probably knows what he's going to do. But you know what? Because daddy wouldn't do it, he's not going to do it. That's it. It's crazy. It's lunacy that this is allowed to go on.
I mean, listen, I agree with everything you're saying. I think if it was me, I would have, you know, done it. Because I think when you look over the last 2 weeks, when you look at, it's not just you know, Ethan, it's not just that they're losing games. Like, they didn't lose a close game to the 49ers.
They got blown out by C.J. Beathard.
Listen, the 49ers didn't punt the football until 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. This is the 0-9 49ers who the minimal talent that they had was all hurt. I mean, they had so many players banged up, and they're not even nearly as talented with those guys healthy. The fact that that wasn't there, and I mean, it's clear as day that, you know, they're, whatever Ben McAdoo is trying to sell is, it's not being bought. And I would have done that. Now, the reason why I can sort of, I'm not going to say understand, and I'm not going to say make an excuse for Mara, but the reason why I think he didn't do it is because a lot of it could be because the players that have quit are on the defensive side of the ball. And if the Giants were to fire Ben McAdoo, the interim coach would obviously be Steve Spagnuolo because he has the past experience and he knows how to run the week-to-week operations. Now, maybe it could be because Ben McAdoo won 11 games last year and he feels like he owes him these next seven games. But then again, I think to myself, if you don't have your mind made up by now, then the next seven games, what are they going to tell you? Out of a bye week, 51-17 home loss, one of the worst losses in franchise history at home. I believe the Rams really wanted to. They could have scored 70. The next week you lose to quite what possibly is the worst team in the NFL. I can't say I'm surprised that he didn't fire him. I would have definitely done it, and I understand fans' frustration, but I'm just playing devil's advocate and, you know, giving two logical reasons why I think he didn't pull the trigger and get rid of him.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy. that's pretty much it. You know, I think even if Spags were to finish out the season.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? The dominoes got to start falling. That's it. I mean, if they don't respect the head coach, they can't even respect the coordinator that helped them get to 11 wins with a dominating defense last year, one of the best units in the league. That's it. There's not much else to say. If you want to, we talk about some of the individuals who we saw dogging it on Sunday.
Yeah, there was a few.
Because I need to go off on some of the haters. There's just the people out there that
Before you start, I'm pretty sure we're gonna disagree on this.
That's fine.
And this could be the first time you and I go at it.
I mean, we've gone at it before, but
we have on certain topics, but not the way I think we're gonna go off into like this. Go ahead. I'll
okay.
Go.
Maybe I'll surprise you.
All right.
There are some people out there who want Janoris Jenkins cut because of his poor performance. A few things. One, you're not moving that contract. You're just not. You're not taking the dead money. No team's going to take that contract. He is a Giant. From a financial standpoint, he is a New York Giant next year. Two, we're talking about the guy who 4 weeks ago was still locking down wide receiver ones. Dez, Rikers. Alshon, Rikers. Mike Evans, Rikers. Who was one of the best cornerbacks in all of football last year. This guy has talent. Talent didn't go anywhere. Okay? You have some guys on the team who are making business decisions. It's as simple as that. Okay? Janoris Jenkins not playing hard. It's a business decision. He decides not to go hard after a player, decides not to go and really tackle the guy. You know what? I'm not saying I condone it, but you have to at least understand it. It's that simple. Should he be trying his absolute hardest, given the money that he is making and just the pride that you should have as a man? 100%. But if you just boil it down to the logics, the team is not going to the playoffs. You want to stay healthy because if he goes hard and suffers a fractured injury, right? He fractures something, tears a ligament, tears his ACL. That's a lengthy rehab process. that he's going to have to go through for the rest of the season, for the offseason, and depending on the severity of the injury, who knows if he's going to be ready for training camp, right? So a guy like Janoris Jenkins, who has all the talent in the world, who's dogging it because he doesn't respect the coach, can't blame him, who doesn't want to get injured, can't blame him. I'm not saying I condone it. I'm not sitting on my couch and dedicating my time or paying money to go to the stadium to watch someone not try. He should fucking try. But you have to admit that the factors in play are much more favorable to someone like Janoris Jenkins, whose contract is immovable, who's going to be on the team next year, and who doesn't want to suffer an injury, just says, fuck it, we're already losing to the 49ers, I'm just going to give up on the play. Now, there are some guys like Eli Apple, who haven't proven shit yet, who should still be trying and clearly aren't when they're out there. Now, not to say I obviously a double standard, but I can understand why some of these guys are making the business decisions that they are. That's it. I understand. I don't condone, but I get it. End.
Well, I thought we were going to disagree on a lot, but you seem to have...
Told you I might surprise you.
I want to interrupt you before you start your rant ever again. But here's the thing. And first of all, when it comes to Janoris Jenkins, it was a pathetic effort.
Absolutely.
And if Ben McAdoo had any head coach in him, any, you know, leadership in him, any sort of, you know, culture establishment in him, he would have pulled Janoris Jenkins from the game at that time. And he probably shouldn't play Janoris Jenkins in next week's game. He should tell Janoris, you know what, you're not going to be on the field with the defensive team. You know, go be a gunner on special teams. Like, if that was a head coach, and if I was a head coach, regardless of my situation, and I see that, I would have most definitely pulled that guy from the game. Pathetic effort. That's number one. Number two, Janoris Jenkins. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that gets me worried about these type of effort things. When Janoris Jenkins first signed with the Giants, last year, he talked about how he quit in St. Louis. He talked about how, not L.A., but how he quit in St. Right. Louis and how, you know, at times he just gave up because the team wasn't doing anything. Well, we're kind of seeing that right now. And that's worrisome to me because, to me, that's you being a front runner. Oh, you're only going to try when we're winning. I don't like that. You know, I don't like the effort. Nobody should like the effort. Nobody should, like you said, condone the effort. Regardless what your thoughts on our McAdoo, I think you can't put Janoris Jenkins on the field on Sunday. Let Ross Cockrell start. Let Dante Dion start. You know, let DRC play opposite Eli Apple. You know what, Eli Apple, I see your efforts lacking. Get off the field. I'm going to throw Dante Dion in there. It's okay if Dion goes out and gets burned every single play. You have to have that control of the locker room. And that's why McAdoo doesn't have that. And it could be because, you know, I don't want to hear that, well, he has to play Jenkins because Jenkins, you know, he's trying to win games and save his job. Jenkins is not helping you win games given that effort. And oh, by the way, Janoris Jenkins is not the reason why the Giants are 1-8. Janoris Jenkins' effort is not the reason why the Giants are 1-8. This is a much bigger issue.
Right.
And that issue is lack of accountability. You want to kick Janoris Jenkins. You want to cut Janoris Jenkins. You want to make sure he never plays another game. Well, let's hold the coach accountable for his decision-making. Let's hold the general manager accountable for his decision-making. Let's hold those people accountable first before we get to the player. So in my opinion, you can't continue to play Jenkins. You have to – this is where Mac can do the next – if there's any glimmer of hope, right, like if there's any glimmer of hope, I don't think there should be, but if there is, before winning games, right, before winning games, the first thing McAdoo needs to do is he needs to get control of his locker room. And tell me if you disagree or agree or not. But to me, as a head coach, you have to have control of your locker room first before we look at your win-loss record. Because if you have no control, you know, it's going to show. We saw with Janoris Jenkins.
Sure. I think at this point, it's like, yeah, you're not wrong. It's just a lost cause.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't like a lot of people kind of compare this to Odell and the Josh Norman thing back in 2015 with Coughlin's last year. And Coughlin basically openly said, look, I was trying to win the game. You know, Beckham was giving you the effort. He was just, you know, it was just the effort was also with the whole Josh Norman thing. Like that was a whole different situation. In this case, Jenkins isn't helping you win games. He isn't out there, you know, breaking up passes. It's the effort thing. I mean, it was pathetic. And as a coach, he ain't helping you win. You know he's quit on you. You sit him. You make him play special teams. You put him down the depth chart. And you know, let Dante Dion play. You got to get control of your locker room. Accountability has to be established. That's what this organization is lacking. And, you know, we're seeing it. I mean, this is what you see. We talked about it.
Sure.
When there's no effort, what's the point of him playing? Put in Dante Dion, put in Ross Cockle, put somebody else in there, you know, and who'll give you the effort. So that's my take on it. Again, I think you and I are both in agreement that, you know, there's no excuse for it. It's pathetic. And I don't think you'd mind if Janoris Jenkins is not playing next week. I certainly won't mind. But
let's not like get his talent mixed up here. Like, he's going to be on the team next year. He's going to be the cornerback one.
Absolutely. As far as next year, I have to know who's going to be here. But certainly, with that said, I don't see how the Giants can move on. They don't. Now, here's the thing with Janoris Jenkins' contract. He doesn't have any more guaranteed dollars. I have to look at the contract and see how the dead money works. Obviously, my money is he's back with the team next year. But as far as the rest of the way and how it relates to Ben McAdoo, you have to do something because that effort is just pathetic.
Pathetic. And I guess just one more thing that you touched on. You mentioned how he quit when he was with the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call a spade here. You got Jeff Fisher and Ben McAdoo. I mean, yeah, quite possibly two of the worst coaches the NFL has seen in the last 10 years. I mean, yeah, throw Chip Kelly in the mix. I mean, it's not exactly like he is being disrespectful to Bill Belichick here. It's a bunch of bums.
I mean, here's the thing with Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher had some minimal success in St. Louis. I mean, he took a team to the Super Bowl, you know, with Steve McNair in Tennessee. You know,
right.
But Ben McAdoo reminds me a lot of Chip Kelly. Because
without the roster overhaul.
Yeah, without the whole trading all the good players away. You just get sick of seeing him. Like, I'm sick of seeing Ben McAdoo. Like, it's not even about...
It's his face, the diner menu, everything, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole, like, his whole personality is just not working.
Right.
Like, the post-game press conference, man, like, the dude sat up there and said, they asked him straight up about Janoris Jenkins. Like, what about the effort? I got to look at the tape.
That's the big thing. We're going to have a good week of practice, and we're going to look at the tape.
I don't want to give a repeat of a Francesa rant. I'm not one to rant. But it's like, what the hell are you watching? Like, don't you see it? Like, you're the head coach.
Yeah, are you not watching what's going on the field?
Yeah, like, how do you not pull him after that poor tackle attempt? Like, if you pull him, I mean, we won't say anything. The majority of the fans want you to lose. They want you gone. You know, like, nobody's going to sit here and say anything. He ain't helping you win. Get him out of the game. It was astonishing to me. And the whole look at the tape. It doesn't make any sense to me. There's some people that are fit to be coordinators and assistant coaches. That's what Ben McAdoo is. He's not a guy that can stand in front of a camera and give an interview and answer questions. He's a guy, you lock him in the room, he's a position coach, tight end coach, quarterback coach, whatever. And his job is just prepare that group. And that's what he does. And that's who he is.
Not disagreeing there. All right. Anything else? Any other notes from the 49ers game?
Besides the fact that it was... I sat through the whole game. Did you sit through the whole game?
Absolutely.
You know, it's...
It's sadistic.
Yeah, you can't get away from it because you're just like, can it get worse?
It's a train wreck. You can't look away.
It is awful. It is bad, man. I'm 26. I don't remember a season like this.
It's bad.
My dad said it wasn't as bad as Fossil's last season, even though players quit on Fossil, but it wasn't like this.
This is next level bad.
It is really bad.
All right. Maritish statement. Do we want to talk about that at all?
I mean, I think he sort of hit on it. And I sort of hit on it. I'm happy that they did come out with the statement. I'm not happy with the way what they agreed upon to do.
Right.
And I think as an ownership, they needed to say something, because there was just so much of this press thrown at McAdoo. Like, he has become a national, like,
a joke.
Yeah, he's a national joke. Like, everyone is, from the whole thing, yeah, you know, went viral, to now I got to just watch the tape. I mean, this has all become like a big dark cloud over the Giants.
And yeah, they need
to address it. So even though I don't agree with the whole, with the decision, I thought they should have got rid of McAdoo Monday, but they had to address it one way or the other. And I'm happy that they did.
Yeah. All right. Draft talk.
We have to, right? It's not even Thanksgiving. We're talking about the draft.
Yeah, dude. Oh, by the Thanksgiving is going to be a nightmare against the Redskins at 8:30. Hopefully I'll have drank enough and ate enough to be asleep on my couch by that time.
I was really close to actually going to that game.
Oh, God bless you.
That was one game that before the season, I was like, I got to go to this game, because I wasn't going to go out of town for Thanksgiving. So I was like, this is a game I want to go to. Even though I hate going to the Skin Stadium, I was like, I got to go to this game because, you know, I'm in town. It's going to be great Thanksgiving. But man, thank God I didn't buy tickets.
Thank God. Okay. I'm trying to convince my dad to get rid of the tickets for the Chiefs game on Sunday.
It's going to be bad, man.
Yeah.
They got three home games against division opponents. Like, I'm not convinced that he's not going to be fired by the end of the season.
Once the Eagles fans fill the stadium.
Yeah, I think, you know, week 16, week 17, I think if it gets, like, we always say, like, is this the worst that it can be? Like, after the Chargers game, remember? Is this the worst that it's ever been?
Nope, it gets worse.
And then they turn around and lose 51-17 against the Rams. And they turn around and lose a winless 49er team. So it's like, now I know, yes, it can get worse, my friend. So
it can always get worse. It
can always get worse. So I don't know. I don't know if Merrick can put up with seeing his stadium filled with the Cowboys. And you know what would make it even worse? You know what would make it even worse?
Tell me.
If the Eagles clinch the NFC East
again,
in New York. Because if you look at sort of the schedule, I mean, that game against the Giants could be the game where the Eagles win and then they clinch the NFC East. I mean, I could most definitely see that scenario, and just the Eagles just storming us and with the stadium filled with Eagles fans.
That's the cherry on top.
Yeah, it's week 15. So I think that could be it. Some say the Thanksgiving game, just because it's a Thursday, and if you get embarrassed on national television, you know, you got the 10 days to prepare for the next game.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think they'll do it that quickly. But who knows at this point, because we don't know how low it can go.
Can always get lower.
Yeah, that's one thing I know.
All right. Hopefully as low as the number one overall pick. Let's do a little draft talk.
It's very much in play, the number one pick.
Very much in play. We got to pray that the Browns win a game. It's so early and there's so many options on the table.
Yeah. And a lot of these players are starting to play a lot better.
Right.
Except the quarterbacks.
So. Yep. I haven't been shy about it. I'm a huge Baker Mayfield guy. He is my favorite quarterback in the draft. Josh Rosen, a number two for me. Not in love with Darnold. Those are my one, two. Obviously in love with Saquon. Quentin Nelson, but, you know, taking a guard that high is always questionable. I see some mock drafts giving us Minkah Fitzpatrick. Fuck out of here with that. Giants are not taking a defensive back with a top three pick. Other than that, that's pretty much it for my draft thoughts. Y'all know who I love: Saquon, Mayfield. Mayfield's stock is going to skyrocket, by the way. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Someone's going to trade up for him. That's just how it goes with the quarterbacks. So, you know, quit dreaming about the Mayfields and Barkley scenario. Not happening. There are a number of ways the Giants can go. Can't say I'll be upset with a number of them. And I guess that's pretty much it.
I'm with you, man. I like Baker Mayfield. I lean more toward Josh Rosen a little bit. But there's so many ways that they can go. To me, I will say this. If it's a new regime that many of us talk about, I think I'm almost 100% sure that it will be a quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's if they clean upper management as well.
Yeah, I'm 85% right now that they will clean house. So I think they'll go quarterback with that pick. But, Saquon Barkley, I think, is the best player in the draft. But situation the Giants are in, with obviously the 36-year-old quarterback, you have to – because a lot of people say let's trade back, get more picks. And then, if we can't land the quarterback, then we get Barkley or we get a lineman or whatever. But then it's like, okay, you trade back. In a couple years, you're probably going to have to trade back up.
Right.
So picks you gain, you're going to end up losing maybe even more to trade up. So I think
it's very rare you get the chance to pick in the top three. And if you do and your future quarterback is there, you take him.
Exactly. And I think it's a rich quarterback class. That's one thing I've constantly heard from everyone. It's a very rich quarterback class. So I think the Giants are in a great position to get the successor. It's going to be a very important offseason for the Giants, a one that could will impact them for the next 10 years at the very least.
Right.
They got to make sure they hit the right buttons here because, the Giants are coming at a crossroad right now. So hopefully they do what they got to do and they get the right people in place to make the pick. But quarterback is important to me. I love Saquon Barkley. I think he's better than Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's, better than Leonard Fournette. Whoever gets him is going to be lucky.
Very lucky.
I can't say I'll be upset if the Giants pick him.
Right.
But I'll be like, okay, you guys know what you're doing because, if we have a chance to get the quarterback, we don't, we opt to get the better player. That's fine. But, I hope you guys know what you're doing. Yeah.
And the people who don't like Saquon are like crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't,
that goes because I've been anti running back in the first round for years. That's how much I like this kid.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like he could be a 30 carry guy, and literally any one of those 30 carries, he has the chance to explode for a touchdown.
He is here's the thing with the offense that people bring up the offensive line. Like the Giants right now are running the ball well. And I'm not sitting here vouching for this same old offensive line group to come back next year. I'm saying they're running the ball well right now. So this notion that Saquon can't run behind this offensive line, but Orleans Darko and Wayne Gallman can, I think that's a little bit, it's an idiotic statement. Obviously, Barkley hasn't played a game yet, but, let's be real here. Like, they need good football players. I feel like I've been beating this drum for weeks now. Barkley's a great football player. So, you can address offensive line in different ways. So... That's me. It doesn't make any sense to me. A lot of people will say, well, what about linebackers? What about offensive linemen? I'm like, I don't think you guys really understand the magnitude of this pick. Like, this isn't just any other
pick. It's a franchise-altering pick.
Exactly. And you can't just say, like, to me, the days of building around Eli and building for Eli, even if some will question whether they even did, I think those days are over. You got to look. The pick has got to be for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yep.
Next 2 years for Eli. So I know the Giants need offensive linemen, but this is a franchise-altering pick. And, the most important position is the quarterback position. You need to have a quarterback. And I don't think Davis Webb should stop them from drafting a quarterback with a top three pick.
Yeah, no, agree. I mean, forget about Davis Webb. He hasn't shown anything.
Nothing. And I wasn't a fan of him coming
in. The fact that he can't even be active for these blowout games is crazy. It's crazy.
Here's the thing about Davis Webb. A lot of people say, why can't he be active? Well, first of all, Ben McAdoo drafted him, right? So McAdoo drafts Davis Webb once in the second round. If McAdoo really thought he was ready, he would be the quarterback too.
Right.
Well, then people say, well, what does McAdoo know? He's an idiot, blah, 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 blah. You shouldn't trust McAdoo. I was like, well, then, okay, you don't trust McAdoo, then why are you screaming for a quarterback to get playing time that McAdoo vouched for to draft.
Yep.
You know, what side of the playing field is this? So, to me, I mean, if he ain't ready, he ain't ready. You know, why are you going to throw him out there? For what? Just so he can play? I mean, what are you going to learn from Davis Webb over the next 6-7 games?
Fair.
And I don't think Ben McAdoo should have the right to decide at this stage who the quarterback is going forward in terms of who plays. I don't think Ben McAdoo deserves the right to end Eli Manning's consecutive start streak, because that's the only thing going for Eli right now. And I don't think
the only thing going for the fans.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I sort of like what Sterling Shepard is. He had a career high game.
Right.
We've never mentioned him. I love the way he played.
And Evan Engram.
Evan Engram too. Great foundation for the future for the Giants, in my opinion. If you're a coach, if you're a young quarterback, I mean, this is the spot you want to go to. I know the offensive line is in flux. I know the running game is in flux. But think about it. You got Odell. You got Sterling Shepard. You got Evan Engram. Those are three really, really good players. And that's not me counting, Wayne Gallman as well, who I think could become something as well. So Shepard, Engram, Beckham. What more can you ask for a young quarterback? Offensive line, I know, but
what should return to being a dominant defense?
Yeah, and even if you're a coach, I mean, you come to New York. I mean, listen, I know the Giants are sort of in flux right now, but this is still the New York Giants. Like, this is right. Still a team that believes in stability. So, if you're a coach, you get those skill position players. You got a chance to draft your quarterback. This is where you want to be. Maybe even if you like Eli, I got Eli for a year as well.
So. Right, exactly. You have a transition.
Exactly, yep.
All right. I don't think we have any questions, but we have the Chiefs game. Andy Reid's teams are 16-2 coming off a bye.
Man.
10.5-point favorites in Vegas. I believe the over-under is 44. Got to see Chiefs in the over. What's that?
It started at 13.5, I believe.
Okay.
Now it's down to 10.
Lovely.
I think it'll by game time, I think it'll be 9.
I will take that 9.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a gambler, but I would too. I think it's nothing. But, we saw what happened in Denver. But this is worse. Like,
yeah.
This is the case. I know Denver was like, well, you remember what happened in Denver? Nobody gave us a chance. I was like, yeah, nobody's gave us a chance in Denver.
But Denver stinks now. People forget.
Exactly. The Chiefs don't stink. They are a really good team. And Alex Smith coming out of bye. Travis Kelce, oh my goodness.
He's going to have 3 touchdowns.
If you have Travis Kelce on your fantasy team, start him.
You're a lucky man if you have him on your team this week.
Start him.
I have Alex Smith in one league. He's going to ball out for like 30 points.
If you have Kareem Hunt, especially with Damon Harrison, most likely
out. Oh, yes.
Then you listen, start Kareem Hunt, start Alex Smith, start, Travis Kelce. Start Tyreek Hill.
Do it. Start all of them.
Start all of them. Tyreek Hill might score through the air, and he'll give it to you on special teams
too. That's true. All right. And folks, I apologize for the coughs. I am a little under the weather. Getting over something. Not terrible. Is that it? Is that all we got for the Chiefs game? I don't know.
I'm just excited to continue to watch Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard.
That's the spirit. See, there's a glass half full. You're excited for the development of the youth.
How about a shout out to Eric Flowers?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. No. I tweeted this today. He's 34th ranked in pass blocking, 69th ranked of all tackles in run blocking. Just because he has not surrendered a sack does not mean that he is even a league average tackle. They literally had to change the offense to accommodate how bad of a pass protector he was. He is not the left tackle next year. At best, he should be competing for the right tackle spot. And at best, okay, even if he is competing for the right tackle spot, I think they need to bring in a left tackle, make Pugh the right tackle, and see where Flowers can fit on the line.
But can we at least give him credit? I mean, he's
busy. Okay. Congratulations, Eric. You have been mediocre.
No. Congratulations, Eric. You have not cost us any games.
Well, it's just very few games for him to cost us. That's how bad things are.
Well, early on, I mean, remember the Dallas game, the Lion game? He's sort of been the guy that's ruining drives.
Right, yeah.
He ain't doing it now.
Can't blame Flowers. Yeah, he's had a lot of help.
Can't blame Flowers.
Can't blame for, yeah. You can blame everyone else. I think that's it. I think we both forgot to tweet out for questions today. We both had sort of a hectic day.
I'll ask you a question.
Let's do it. We got to do our random segment.
I asked people this on Twitter, sort of back to that draft talk, but Darnold, Rosen, Saquon Barkley, and Baker Mayfield, who are you taking out of those four? Number two pick. Yeah, don't tell me you're trading back. Those are the four picks.
Where are we picking? Just number one, if I had my pick right now?
Number one, number two. You're on the board. Those four guys are there.
Mayfield's my guy right now. I'm in love with Mayfield.
Yes, I like that because to me, you like the quarterback, you take him. Mayfield's going to climb into the top 10. I am almost certain that will happen.
Absolutely.
He is making...
People make the size argument. I don't buy it. Look at Russell Wilson. Look at Drew Brees. Dude's got a cannon. He's like got a very sturdy lower half. He gets hit hard. He bounces right back up. He's a competitor. He plays with a chip on his shoulder because he's been told his entire life that he's too small. He's not big enough for the NFL. He's not big enough for college football. He's not big enough for high school. Plays with a chip on his shoulder. And I love that. Him and Odell in the same offense, electric. He already knows Sterling Shepard, and he'll become Evan Engram's best friend very, very quickly if that is the case.
His traits. Now, I know Giants fans won't like this, but his traits sort of remind me of a more athletic version of Tony Romo.
Okay.
I see him a little bit. I haven't watched much on him. I think you and I talked about it off the air. I'm going to spend some time watching these college quarterbacks. I've been watching Rosen a lot. I see a lot of good pocket throws. Obviously, athleticism is in question.
Right.
But I'm going to continue watching him. But the stuff I sort of see from Mayfield and read up on, his traits sort of similar to Romo. So depending on how you feel about that, hopefully you don't take it the wrong way. But traits are very similar to what Romo's doing, just more athletic. But yeah.
That's it.
That's it. You have anything you want to add?
How about the Knicks yesterday?
I have a problem with that. I mean, listen.
Problem with what? There's a lot of things I had a problem with about the Knicks yesterday.
Well, listen. First of all, I like LeBron. I do. But
that Instagram.
I don't think it's your job to. I know you're taking a shot at Phil, but at the same time, there's no need for you to comment on another team's, you know, draft decisions.
Like, he's also wrong.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's wrong or right, I mean, that's...
He was wrong about Napier. Remember, he said he was the best point guard in the class?
Yeah, and then he ended up leaving. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of things we can get on LeBron about. But, listen, you are the best player in the world, arguably the greatest player of all time. But there's no need for you to comment on other teams' draft. Just because you're... I don't care that you want to take a shot at Phil Jackson. Go take a shot at Phil Jackson a different way. You don't take a shot at Phil Jackson by calling out... You know, the organization's young point guard. Like, that's just that's just wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not really a Knicks fan, but if I was, I'd be like, yo, what the fuck? Like, who are you? Like, I know you're LeBron James, but like, I was hoping the Knicks would win, but no reason to call out another team's draft pick like that. Like, that's just stupid. Because if we start sitting out here and talk about LeBron James and start questioning the fact that, hey, LeBron, your best friend is an NBA agent, that could be a conflict of interest.
Right.
Like, let's start talking about LeBron James. We could spend a whole episode talking about, you know, LeBron and what he does and, you know, the fact that his agents is also his agent's clients is Tristan Thompson and Iman Shumpert. And just do research about LeBron's friends and that agency that they have. Like, we could let's talk about LeBron James. Like, let's put it out there. It's stupid, in my opinion. You're a player. No reason for you to be calling out other teams, you know, whatever, their roster decisions or who's on their roster, who's not on their roster, who they should draft, who they shouldn't. That's stupid. You want to be LeBron. You want to be that ruthless LeBron. You don't want to be that passive-aggressive LeBron. I understand you want to get into politics and you want to, you know, call up president and do all that. That's fine. But another team, I mean, to me, that was sort of low. Kind of dumb and just all right, stupid and questionably wrong. Dennis Smith had knee coming in the draft. So, you know, did you know that, LeBron? Or did you?
I don't think LeBron cares.
Mr. I don't know, who's the NBA draft guy? You know, like who's an NBA draft guy that like NFL has Mel Kiper Jr.
Or, right. Yeah, I don't even know.
Like, I don't know who does the NBA, but are you that person, LeBron? I mean, just stupid. I was hoping the Knicks win last night, would have won last night, but they play hard. I like the Knicks young core. I do a lot.
They're fun.
I was a Carmelo fan.
Me too.
I didn't think Carmelo was the reason why the Knicks were what they were, but definitely with Carmelo gone, you're seeing Porzingis become one of the best young stars. And I know Giannis is getting a lot of attention, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't, but man, people got to talk about Porzingis, man.
Way more, especially because he's in New York.
I got NBA League Pass.
Yeah. We mentioned that beginning of the season.
I watch the Knicks, man. They are fun to watch, man. And this Frank guy, shooting is kind of questionable, but in basketball, you can work on your shooting. You can develop a shooting touch. But, you know, the fact that he's willing to play defense, the fact that he's, you know, getting those steals and getting those rebounds, lengthy guy, I think he's got a 7-foot wingspan.
His wingspan's preposterous.
Yeah, he's going to be a good player. He's continuing to develop. And Knicks have to establish some stability and create a team now. So around Porzingis, and I like that. Do like that. So that was my thing. Wasn't really feeling LeBron's comments at all.
And the Instagram on top of that.
Yeah, the Instagram post was stupid. First of all, you're not the king of New York. Talk in terms of basketball.
Enos Kanter, though, that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and he's becoming a huge fan. And I mean, He's gaining a lot of fans in New York by the way he's, you know, some of the stuff he says, standing up for the young guys.
Right, exactly.
You need somebody like that. And the Knicks have that. I like Kanter a lot. He's also taking on the Turkish government, too.
Yeah, he's taking on Erdogan as well as LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. kudos to him, man. But listen, Knicks fans, I don't think making the playoffs should be out of the question. I think this team...
8 seed, man. Let's go.
Yeah, if they can string together some wins...
Tank and get Doncic. I don't care.
Or you can do that, but I don't think these young guys are going to tank. I think... It's early. The NBA season is a marathon. But once we get to January and closer to the All-Star break, depending on where the Knicks are, I mean, it's just going to motivate these guys even more.
Yeah.
And the East is weak. You can make the playoff. Weak. You can probably be a playoff team winning 38 games, 37 games. So we'll see. But I don't think it's out of the question.
Damn straight. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
Things are bad, guys. Stay positive.
Yes, sir.
All right. Episode 44. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Peace.